The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We are proud to have the Fuel Up to Play 60 schools with us in the studio today. Folks, give yourself a hand. We appreciate you being here. Fuel Up to Play 60 is the nation's largest install in this program in over 73,000 K-12 schools with 38 million students involved. First of all, let's bring in our co-host, our 85 Super Bowl winning Bear, Tom Thayer. Tom, nice round of applause for him.
Everybody.
And our special guest tonight, the rookie third-round draft pick, your center for the Chicago Bears. Would you please welcome Hronis Grasu?
Thank you.
I'm Chris Bowden, filling in once again for Zach Zaidman. What's
you're
going
a pro.
On with him?
You're a pro. He's got other things,
I guess.
He doesn't realize what's important.
Priorities. But we appreciate all of you being here with us tonight. Hope you have a good time, and we will fill up the next 60 minutes with nothing but Bears talk. Lots of offensive line talk.
Of course.
I hope breaking things
down. Most important part of the game.
And, Hronis, let's. I think you guys have probably parked everything and moved on from last Sunday. There may still be some wounds that people are looking here in the audience and out there, all Bears fans, after the loss to San Francisco. What lessons learned can you take collectively and individually from Sunday's game?
I think as an offense, when we get to the red zone, you know, those first couple of drives like that we did, we got to make sure that we, you know, score touchdowns. I know we preach about ending every possession with points, but when you get those opportunities in the beginning of the game to start out fast, you just got to, you know, score touchdowns and, you know, get a good lead and then just keep trusting the process, trusting what the coaches are doing here and just keep executing what we're doing and just keep finding ways to get better.
You know, the coach is definitely trusted. 42 runs, 170 yards. You leave a game like that, you think that you left with a W. But it's nice to see that the coaches have great faith in Coach Magazoo and all you guys, that they're willing to call 42 runs in a game.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, I didn't even know that until after the game, talking with the media. I was told that. I didn't even realize it because you're just out there. You're just in go mode, and, you know, I mean, think about how many times we're going to run the ball or pass the ball, but it just shows a lot of trust and faith in the offensive line. And but, you know, I also thought, you know, Jay does an unbelievable job on the line of scrimmage of checking into things and, you know, getting everybody on the same page. He's just a great leader for us and a great captain.
How much does offensive line continuity play into it? That was the third straight game. You as a group were together, and Tom can probably speak to this as well, but I think previously in the season there had only been two separate times previously where that offensive line was together for three consecutive games. How much does that running game clicking have to do with the continuity and the comfort level with each guy around you?
It really is. It's huge. You know, when we're playing together, you know, it seems like it's so long when it's just three or four games that we've played together so far. There's less communication because sometimes you just got to look at somebody and just give them a nod and, you know, the Slauson will know what I'm talking about. And when you get to that point, there's less communication. You just get to play even faster. And that's, you know, something we're trying to do better every single week. Just play faster, get to the line of scrimmage, get our calls in and let's go.
I got a two-part question. You started every game in college. Was it more difficult as a young freshman to start in college or as a rookie starting in the NFL? And the fatigue factor, because we hear so much about the Oregon program and you talk about playing faster and stuff, is can you tell the difference in the fatigue factor from Oregon to the NFL?
For the first part, what was harder for me was playing as a freshman, my first game in college. My first game was against LSU at Cowboys Stadium in front of 100,000 people, and I was a freshman, and the whole entire defense is starting in the NFL right now. The nose was Michael Brockers. He was a first-round pick that year. And then Eagle Ferguson, you know, our defensive tackle, was out there. And, you know, very talented defense. And in front of a hostile crowd, I think they had about, you know, 75,000 fans there. And we just had 20,000, 25,000. And so that was harder than my first NFL game because just being out there was a crowd. And
your first NFL game was against Kansas City, right?
That is correct.
And they got one of the best defensive fronts, too, going.
Yeah, but once I got through that first game in college, every single game after that was just like just a regular game. Which I literally treated every game like practice, you know. And, you know, we do that here, too. But in college, you know, Coach Kelly and now Coach Helfrich seriously makes practice way harder than games. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at it, if I could get through practice every single day, you know, I could just treat that like a game and I'll be fine during the game. And I'm doing that here now in my first game against Kansas City. You know, I never let the crowd get to me. I never let the game be bigger than it really is. I just, as a center, I got to be calm and collective and make my calls. And, you know, I learned a lot from the past 4 years in college to, you know, make me successful and put me in a good position to help the team win and do whatever I can to help them.
You know, one great thing about after the Kansas City game is about 80 degrees out and everybody is able to get on the plane with whatever they're most comfortable in wearing. And all the veteran offensive linemen made Hironas put his suit back on. So you got Slauson in a T-shirt and shorts
flip-flops.
And everything, flip-flops, and Hironas, 80 degrees, comes out of the locker room in a suit.
The troubles of being a rookie,
yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
You know? So after the loss on Sunday, everyone almost immediately triggers to, okay, what does this mean for the playoff implications when, you know, we're just trying to get to 500 and be in the mix. How has the coaching staff and you guys, all of you in the locker room, adjusted to, all right, we just have to wipe that out and we just have to singularly focus on what's right in front of us here and not look at the big picture?
Exactly. The only thing we could do is worry about what we can control, and that's, you know, we said it on Monday morning, that's getting better today. And then tomorrow, get better at, you know, doing recovery stuff. And coming in today, get better at what we can control today. And that's having a good practice, and which we did. You know, that's all we could really do. And, you know, if you look at the whole NFC, it's crazy. It's up for grabs. And if we just keep focusing on what we got to do and just worry about what we can control and, you know, just, you know, win this week, you know, win against the Redskins, and, you know, that'll just put us one step closer to our goal.
You know, playoffs or not, I think the message of Coach Fox all year has been making sure you're better next week than you were this past week. But again, I think if you think that you can relax because the playoff isn't the big picture, that's the best way to get yourself cut. And I'm not saying this to Hronis, but I'm saying anybody on any football team, that when they do lose that playoff opportunity, you better amp up your practice and your game performance.
You have Terrence Knighton coming at you this weekend.
He's not 350 pounds.
What is he?
He's at least 400.
and John Fox had him on that Broncos team previously. How have you been able to dip into your film work and maybe pick John's brain and Jay Rogers' brain as well this week against them?
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. I went to Coach Rogers and also Mitch Unrein. He's a former defensive tackle at the Broncos. He played with them. And I went to them right away when I, you know, saw this guy. You saw the size of him, and I just knew about him. He's just a, you know, talented player, big player, and he clogs up the middle. And I had to, you know, I like to get any little tiny detail that I can of my opponent. And, you know, when I have their former defensive line coach and teammate in this building, you know, I got to, you know, pick their brain. And, you know, just, he's a big body. He's almost impossible to move. But I know with the help of, you know, Matt Slauson and Pat to my right, you know, we'll be able to move this guy and just keep, you know, doing what our coaches tell us to do and just, you know, finish every play.
Man, those guys give you some great bumps. You talk about Patrick Omame and Matt Slauson playing the guards each side of Hironas. When they have a combination block, they have to come down and give you a hand. And there's times where they take those defensive linemen off their feet and put them on your opposite shoulder.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, make my, you know, it's very nice when they do that. I love it. But, you know, a lot of credit to them, a lot of credit to our coaches. You know, they're definitely making my job a lot easier as a rookie.
I want to talk a little bit more about your development, continued development as a rookie when we come back as we take our first break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Here with our friends from Fuel Up to Play 60, co-founded by the NFL and America's Dairy Farmers, helping millions of students in our nation's school eat better and get active. We're more than happy they are with us. Hironas Grassu, Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden here with you. We'll be back after this timeout.
Welcome back to the PNC studio at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by a Sports Authority. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's. It airs every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on the show, Bears Hall of Famer Gale Sayers looks back on his record-tying 6-touchdown game against the San Francisco 49ers back in 1965.
How was that game?
We welcome, I can't remember, I think it was 2 at that time, and you were even younger. We'll ask Coronis what that game was like.
Yeah.
He's way younger. Back in front of our friends from Fuel Up to Play 60 here at the PNC studio. We appreciate their company here with us tonight. We started touching about this a little bit earlier on the show, the challenges of the NFL versus the Pac-12. How are you feeling about your development and your comfort level so far this season?
It's just like college. Every single game and every single practice, you just get more and more comfortable with the more reps under your belt. And, you know, I took that, you know, mindset going to the NFL, and I, you know, told myself, you know, just get better every day and find one thing to get better at, and that's what's, you know, helped me. Don't try to do too much. Don't, you know, try to, you know, just help everybody out. Just, you know, worry about what you got to do and, you know, find, like, little details that you got to work on and, you know, just figure out ways and go ask people, go ask the older guys, what can I do to get better? And that's something I took, you know, a huge, you know, advantage of in training camp with Will Montgomery. And now he's still around and helping me out. But also Matt Slauson, you know, has been unbelievable for me.
You know, food, technology, the things that you have around here to improve yourself, are you taking full advantage of all that? And do you see your body changing? You know, because John Fox even said it the other day, your body changes when you're in the course of your NFL life. Do you see yourself taking advantage of those things, you know, from the iPads on the plane on the way home to the perfect food that you can eat every day?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I take advantage of everything that they, you know, provide for us, you know, the cafeteria and also just, you know, what they invested in for our recovery methods with all the, you know, massage therapy, with all the stretching and the chiropractor. I take advantage of everything. You know, I'm in there wearing those guys out. And, you know, even though I'm a rookie, you know, at the beginning, I feel like, oh, I feel like I have no right to be in here just because I'm a rookie. But, you know, Matt Slauson was the first to come to me and Jay Cutler, that, you know, they said, you know, you're young, just take care of your body now, that, you know, later on down the road, you're not going to have any problems. And, you know, don't worry about the whole being a rookie thing. And, but I'm in there and trying to get better. And I think, you know, I was prepared coming in because of what we did at Oregon. I think Oregon really, you know, takes over the top with everything that we do to play faster, you know, and change our bodies.
One of the things we hear from most of the observers who have an expertise in the offensive line say, going forward, maybe you need to build your base up a little bit, but isn't that a fine line between the, how can you do that without losing what your assets are, your quickness, your speed? And is it a matter of redistributing? Because what are you now, about 305?
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, I
it's did a slippery
hear,
slope, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I did hear that a lot, that I need to, you know, get my base. But my, you know, my play is playing fast, using my quickness to my advantage, getting to the second level, you know, being quick on you know, if I'm one-on-one with the block, with the nose, I quick with my hat placement, make them look like I'm selling, you know, outside zone, but I'm really going inside. You know, just use my quickness to my advantage, and I'm 305, and you know, I feel really good. Obviously, there's gonna be guys bigger than me. You're not gonna win every single rep, so if you know, I should not be, you know, 3 yards in the backfield. You know, I think, you know, I've gotten better at that. But you know, if those guys get paid too, and you know, our coaches and do everything they can to help us out, so I just gotta, you know, I think play more violent, be a meaner guy out there. My coach today told me I'm kind of too nice. so I just got to go out there and just be violent and wouldn't try to, you know, just be mean.
Because there's a history here in similar body styles and ways of attacking with Olin Krutz, who I think was about the same size. And then Jay, I don't think, was even as big. Jay Hilgenberg wasn't
even as big. I watched, you know, have broadcasted every one of Olin's game and played next to Jay the whole time. Jay Hilgenberg, 7-time Pro Bowler, you know, the career of Olin Krutz also. And I see similarities. I see the hand quickness, the inside placement of Jay, and I see the strength, the size, and the structure of Olin in Hronis. And when I was talking about him to other Bears personnel people at the beginning of training camp, and every time if I was watching one-on-ones or I was watching teamwork, and I was watching, it was nice to see that I could watch Hronas and be reminded of both those great players in Bears history. And what was your secondary sport growing up? Did you have one? Did you wrestle? And do you like all the shotgun you did in college? Are you getting more used to Jay being underneath now?
Yeah, growing up, I only played basketball and soccer. You know, that's and then once I got to high school, I threw a little bit of volleyball in there. And you know, I didn't start playing football till high school. But growing up, just soccer and basketball, and that what has helped me with my foot quickness and you know, just being you know, trying to be an athlete out there as much as I can. But you know, growing up in our Romanian culture, we just watch, you know, soccer in my house, and you know, my family's huge on soccer, and you know, didn't let us play football or even watch football because they just thought it was too dangerous. But luckily, my parents
grew out of it.
They grew out of it.
Be a big soccer guy.
Yeah, and but yeah, I wish, you know, looking back at it, my wrestling coach in high school, you know, was begging me every single day to come out and wrestle, but you know. My favorite sport was basketball, and you know, it was during basketball season for us down in Los Angeles, and you know, I just couldn't give up basketball.
Space eater down in the paint. I can see it now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll get into that history of yours as well, your family here as we roll along here. 2 weeks under your belt as a starter, once you finally get in the starting lineup, then you suffer the neck injury. What was the frustration level with that, and having that momentum kind of broken? And I understand you were pretty well suited up when you were trying to sleep, right, in terms of getting that neck injury right?
And when it happened in practice, so we went through the bye week, and I was like, wow, I feel really good right now. I mean, after the bye week, I'm fresh body rookie. I just only been playing for 2 weeks. I was just, you know, I feel good. And then the first day of practice for the Minnesota Vikings, you know, we doing some drills, and I just hit my neck in a weird way, and I just couldn't believe that what you know just happened. You know, my you know messed up my neck, and I was just in shock. I was like, this is not holding me out. I told myself, I may not be able to practice today or tomorrow, but I'm playing on Sunday no matter what. But you know, after talking, you know, the doctors looking at it, you know, doctors out here in Chicago and the doctor in Los Angeles, you know, getting a second opinion, and all the doctors just agreeing that I should not be playing right now, just let it heal. And you know, for a long term, you know, talk, you know, if I go out there and play on Sunday, you know, I could really have a high risk of injuring it even more for like a long-term deal.
You know, I was sitting in the bus getting ready to go to the San Diego game, and I saw this motorhome coming down the hill, and I see a big Oregon paint on it from the bowl game, and I
That's
see
like
a big
from 3 50, years ago.
I see a big 55 sitting in the front seat. In that, family support is important, whether you're playing or you're healthy. And how is your family, you know, living, growing through the support of football for you?
It's unbelievable. You know, people always ask, like, why do you do what you do? And I think everybody should have a reason why they do what they do. And, you know, my family is the reason why, you know, I get up and, you know, do what we do here every single day. You know, the sacrifices that they all made to get to this country, you know, risking their lives, you know, for the better of our lives. You know, is, you know, I just want to show my appreciation to them and just make them happy, make them proud of, you know, of me, just, you know, as a man, and also just, you know, help me, you know, being a good son and a good brother and, you know, good nephew. You know, so seeing my family at every single game from when I was in college to now, even when I was inactive the first 4 weeks of the season, all my family and friends came out, you know, to all those games. And it just shows that, you know, they have my support no matter what, if I'm playing or not. And then when I was injured for the Chargers game, I had exactly 72 people at that game. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and it was
ticket
just,
problems.
Well, it's not up to me. That's up to my brother. They go on StubHub, and they just, that's what they do. My family never once bothered me about anything.
Well, I think more than half the stadium was in San Diego, or was Bear fans,
right?
Anyway. So I want to dive a little bit more into that backstory when we come back. Time for another break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of our friends here from Fuel Up to Play 60. Back after this. Into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. And we're here at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Locally, Fuel Up to Play 60, our folks who are live and in attendance here with us, brought to you by the Midwest Dairy Council and the Chicago Bears. 3,800 schools are involved with Fuel Up to Play 60 in Illinois. Our special guest tonight, Bears center Hieronis Grassu. So 35 years ago, 1982, your parents, Steve and Mariana, they decide to emigrate from Romania because of what was going on with communism rule over there. And I know your families went through some struggles, various members of your families, to try and also escape, if you can, in a nutshell. I know it's a really long story, but some of the issues that they encountered in trying to escape.
Yeah, I'll be quick. It was my dad and his two brothers that, you know, first, you know, try to get out. And my dad's oldest brother left first, and he was caught twice. And I told him that if we could catch you again, you know, we're gonna kill you. And he still, you know, risked his life to get on a train. And he, you know, they made it over to the States and, you know, got their visas and everything. And then my dad wanted to go back to get his parents. And while he was doing that, met my mom and married my mom and, you know, told my mom, I promise you, we'll get you to the States. And he convinced my mom and, you know, they came over and they started up a pizzeria. They saved up some money, started up a pizzeria shop in Hollywood Boulevard. And, you know, 30 something years later now, you know, we're still there and we're just being, you know, truly blessed and, you know, very, you know, happy to be in the position that we're in.
Did something or somebody attract them to the West Coast, or did they have someone there to support them when they got here?
Yeah, they first went to New York, and then they had somebody from their guy or the people that they knew from New York move over to Los Angeles and told them, hey, I got a job out here for you as a mechanic for all three of them, really. So they went out to Los Angeles and, you know, worked as, you know, a mechanic and at an auto shop, and, you know, they saved money up from that and then opened up the pizzeria. And, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, what did you have, like 14 or 15 family members under one roof initially, right?
Yeah, initially for you know, a couple months.
Sounds like the Thayer household.
Yeah, it was 15 of us, and we're all, you know, one roof. And to be honest, thinking back, it was kind of fun. You know, I was with my brother and my cousins. But it just makes me appreciate everything so much more of what I have today. And it just makes me, you know, very blessed.
Hey, it sounds, because, you know, my mom and dad have been married for 64 years, mm-hmm. and we still live in the same house I was born and raised in my whole life, same telephone number, everything. So whether it's Hieronis, a young guy, or me, it is about family support that allows you to, you know, have inspiration to work for.
So tell us a little about Greco's New York Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into the New York versus Chicago pizza debate here in a minute. But and it's on Hollywood Boulevard. What's the scene like there?
It's crazy. It really is crazy. You never know who you're going to see or who you're going to meet. Growing up, that's where, you know, I was at on the weekends. You know, I was always upset that I can't go out, you know, to the park or go play with my friends. My parents always, you know, made me go work at the restaurant. And, you know, just looking back at it now, obviously, it taught me a lot of discipline and, you know, working hard and, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I was just sitting at, you know, standing at the counter, and I'm looking outside, and I see, you know, a man who wasn't all there mentally. He was on, you know, some type of drugs or something, and he got in a fight with the wall, and the wall won that fight. And, you know, I've seen just a lot of crazy people, but also a lot of great people. I love seeing the people that are, you know, traveling and, you know, from all different, you know, parts of the world.
Can you throw pizza? Can you, like you see on TV and stuff?
I can make a pizza. I can't throw it. I still can't get that down. But my mom and, you know, my dad are, you know, do a very good job with that.
The pizza's popular in Romania, though, right?
It's somewhat popular, but...
Your special recipe?
No, you know, they just, you know, eat whatever type of meat they could get their hands on.
Celebrity sightings in Hollywood?
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of, you know, people come through. We're a couple of spots down, you know, from Jimmy Kimmel, where he does a show, and Jimmy Kimmel has had my dad on his show three times. They've come over with the whole crew and filmed, you know, part of the show in our restaurant and had my dad on the show, and it's just, you know, unbelievable to just see my dad on Jimmy Kimmel Live, just see the restaurant Jimmy Kimmel Live. It just blows me away, and you know, just, you know, it's absolutely amazing.
All right, so when did you first try Chicago style pizza, and what were your you have like a Jon Stewart opinion of Chicago style versus New York style, or no?
I first tried it when, you know, I think my first weekend out here, my whole family came, of course. And then my first, you know, week in that hot off, they all came and visited. You know? Yeah, we went and went to Illuminati's, and, you know, I thought it was, you know, really good. You know, it was exactly what I expected, deep dish, and, you know, but, you know, growing up on the pizza.
In other words, you still like New York better.
Well, I can't, you know, growing up with the New York style pizza, and, you know, my family's pizza in general, like, I'm not being biased whatsoever. But, you know, our pizza is actually, you know, a really good pizza, and, you know, I enjoy both of them. Whenever I feel like, you know, I want thin crust, and I'll go home and get it. But, you know, if I ever get any type of pizza out here, you know, I'll go get the deep dish.
When they load up that motorhome, is the back end supplied with pizza?
It's supplied with, you know, that's what my family, it's supplied with, you know, every, you know, type of meat you could ask for, everything. You know, they, my family, you know, when I'm home or even here, when my brother's here, we barbecue every single night. It's like when I have friends come over, like, wow, you guys doing this just for me? I'm like, no, we do this every night, so don't feel too special.
Now, did you grow up in Encino, or was that where your
My high school was there. I grew up, the house that everybody lived in, you know, that's after everyone moved out. I grew up in there. That's in North Hollywood, and then we moved to Northridge, California, in 1999.
Isn't Encino where the Valley Girls are, though?
I have no idea.
But, you know, you grow up in that area, and we all have a stereotype of hearing that name or hearing that area. How do you get attracted into football? Because I can't imagine where a lot of your friends going, hey, Hieronis, you got to play football because of your size, or was it something that you kind of individualized and went off on your own?
It's all the credit goes to my brother and our high school football coach. He was begging my brother to go out to be the kicker because my brother is a big soccer player in high school, and he was begging my parents to let my brother kick for the football team, for the varsity team. And when my brother was a junior, he snuck out there to practice without, you know, letting my parents know, and you know, eventually got the starting job and told my parents about it. And of course, they freaked out. And then once they went to the first game, they loved it. And, you know, then my brother's senior, and then I was coming in as a freshman, asked them to play. They said, absolutely not, only if you're a kicker. So I agreed, okay. But I went out there, and, you know, I was playing offensive tackle right from the first day. And, no, the rest is history. Just because of my brother.
All right. I want to pick, because I don't know if that sat well with your parents either, from what I understand. We'll pick that story up when we continue here from the PNC studio at LSO. You're watching Bears, or listening to Bears All Access. I'm on TV mode. We're back after this.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority for the PNC studio at Halas Hall, here with our friends from Fuel Up to Play 60. They are our live audience tonight. Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden alongside Bears rookie center Hieronis Grasu. Grateful to have all the folks with us here tonight. Time to decide on our player of the week, brought to you by Sports Authority. And I came up with three names in particular, but maybe the more well-trained I can throw a few more names in the hat. But obviously Eddie Goldman, and we can talk to Hieronis about going up against Eddie in practice all the time and his progress. Willie Young, I think, last 3-4 weeks has really turned 3.5 sacks for the last three games, I believe. And then the running game in general, and I think Matt Forte kind of the ringleader in 21 rushes for 84 yards, getting involved in the passing game, and a tough run for a touchdown as well. Any others you want to throw in the hat there, Tommy, or no?
For the first time ever, I want to throw in a unit, throw in the whole offensive line. Because when you have 42 rushes,
who's our guest tonight?
No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, and I know Hieronis is here, but it's happened before, and that I think the we never try to credit an entire unit, because the offensive line, you can't pick out one guy. It's not like Kyle Long's going to have a dominating game with, you know, 42 rushes and he's the only reason. It's because of all those guys were able to run the ball effectively 42 times, plus every transition that they had to make in the passing game with the protections and everything. So I know it won't go in that direction, but I just wanted to.
Well, I don't know. I'm feeling pressure here.
Throw
now,
that line in
the
water.
Company I'm in. What do you think in terms of any individuals that stand out?
That's hard for me to say, but you know, obviously you said one, Eddie Goldman, just, you know, going up against him, you know, every single day in practice from the day we first got here during rookie mini camp, just seeing his progress is, you know, really special and unbelievable to see how much better he's, you know, getting every single day.
All right, so we'll go with Eddie Goldman.
Well, you know what I like about Willie Young is every sack he gets, he changes his cast. You know, he had an overhand cast the first one, the second one he had a sidearm cast, yeah. You know, I enjoy watching to see what he's going to
reach into the water and grab.
He did a little ice fishing. I did a little ice fishing in Green Bay when he got it. That was fun to see.
Yeah, and you went up one-on-one against Eddie in the Rose Bowl last year, right?
Yeah, I did.
You got some bragging rights on that one.
I sure do. That's the first thing I said when we first, you know, got to the facility.
Second and third round back-to-back here, too. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's crazy.
You were talking a little bit about your how football started. Now, your parents were cool with you kicking, but then I think I heard a story where they show up for the first game, and they see you playing.
What are you
offensive
doing out there?
Line. Right. How was that ride home in the car that day?
It was quiet. But, you know, once, you know, our head coach had to talk to them and calm them down and just tell them that, you know, that he promised them that they're going to make sure I'm safe. But, you know, they just, you know, as long as I'm having fun and I get better from it, you know, and, you know, I think football, you know, provides, you know, so much discipline and leadership and hard work and, you know, working with the team. And, you know, my parents, you know, finally bought in. And, You know, my family never watched football until, you know, we started playing. And, you know, no one ever missed a game. And now my whole family, you know, instead of having soccer on all day in the house, you know, now my dad's always watching football. Like, it's really, really special to see how much they care about football now and how not just my parents, but all my aunts and uncles and cousins are all, you know, following football, you know, from day one.
It must have been funny watching them come to the game, look for a big guy in a single-digit number, and all of a sudden they see a guy at the end of the line in a double-digit finding out. But, you know, what you've been able to accomplish, it's a credit to, like you always talk about, the support of your family.
It really is. It really is.
Why Oregon? And what other schools were you seriously considering when they were recruiting you out of Encino?
Yeah, well, I didn't really get recruited, you know, that much. I was, you know, 225 to maybe 230 pounds on a really good day, offensive, defensive lineman. And I really thought I was going to play defensive line in college. You know, I had, you know, a couple schools as like UNLV, Wyoming, Nevada offered me as a defensive lineman. And then those are the three offers that I had. And then my dream school was any school in the Pac-10 at the time. And I really wanted to play with my brother. He was at Washington State. You know, they offered me as a defensive tackle, and then Washington offered me as a center. And then Oregon, you know, was the school that also offered me as a center. And just, you know, being recruited by them, being recruited by the offensive line coach, Steve Greatwood, you know, Scott Frost, Coach Kelly, you know, really, you know, made me feel like it's a family there. And really wanted to play for Coach Greatwood, my offensive line coach. And, you know, it was the best decision I ever made. It was a hard one because I know my brother and my mom did not want me to go there. My mom wanted me to go to Washington State to be with my brother. And my brother, I remember when I told him I got the scholarship from Oregon, he didn't seem too excited, but because he knew that's where I really wanted to go. But at the end of the day, it was my decision, and it was a hard decision, but ended up being the right decision.
Is the Kyle Long that we know the same guy you met in college?
Hasn't changed.
I see we got a Kyle Long jersey in the crowd. And nice representation there. But so he's the same guy now?
He's the same guy, but I'm wrong. When he first came to Oregon, he was very raw. He had no idea what to do out there, and that's why he didn't start right away. There was a freshman starting over him at left tackle, and Kyle came in. You know, he was just a freak athlete, just a freak human being, and just everything that he did was just so much power and aggression and so much. Like, sometimes he got off a block, and I'm just like it looks like he's about to fall on his back, but Kyle made the other guy fall on his back. It's just stuff that is unheard of, and, you know, that shouldn't be happening, you know, or someone shouldn't be able to pull that off, and Kyle was doing that. And then, you know, we had some injuries to the offensive line, and Kyle came in to start at guard, and he's never played guard before, and I'm just, you know, just tell him who to block, and I know that if I just give him a number, he's going to, you know, make that guy's life a lot harder. But Kyle, what changed now is his football IQ and just learning the game and becoming just an overall great, you know, offensive lineman.
I want to talk a little bit more about Kyle Long and Chip Kelly and Marcus Mariota and that whole Oregon relationship.
Scott Frost just got hired away.
Yeah.
Go to FuelUpToPlay60.com for more information on how to get involved in your community and help students eat healthy, get active, and make a difference. That word courtesy of our folks here, our live audience here at Halas Hall, the Fuel Up to Play 60 folks. You're listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Back after this timeout. C
Sunday's game versus the Washington Redskins is brought to you by Beggar's Pizza. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Beggar's Pizza window clean. Beggar's Pizza, we lay it on thick as we welcome you back inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden. Our special guest tonight, Hieronis Grasu, third-round center for the Bears. And we were talking a little bit about Oregon. Chip Kelly left after your sophomore year there. And you started all 4 years, redshirt freshman, right?
Yeah.
What was, as we watch him orchestrate things in the NFL in Philadelphia, was he just as bold a decision maker the 2 years you were with him, or actually 3 years you were with him, you know, because we see the DeSean Jackson moves and the, you know, the Murray and the LeSean McCoy. What was his personality like in Oregon? And do you still stay in touch with him at all?
Yeah, I mean, we're still in touch, and I love the guy. And, you know, you always know what Chip is doing. He always has a plan, and there's always a reason to why he does what he does. And, you know, when I first got to Oregon, we had a quarterback, a Heisman candidate, in Jeremiah Masoli. And he had a few run-ins with the police, and you know, Coach Kelly didn't even hesitate. He kicked him off the team, and you know, he did that to a couple of guys. You know, Cliff Harris. You know, we had a bunch of guys that were all Americans and all Pac-12 selections. And you know, if you're not doing things the right way, and you know, Coach Kelly will not hesitate to get rid of you. And I don't know what, you know, what's going on with the Eagles and what, you know, what he did as far as, you know, what happened the past couple of years. But, you know, I always know that, you know, he always has a plan to what, you know, he's doing.
He seems to me to be a guy that just wants the same commitment from you that he's putting in himself. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's unfair in anything he's asking for. He's just a super committed guy, because when I see the first time I saw him see Kyle on the field, the people that he has in his past, he's super gracious to. If you don't have a past with him, you just don't know him, I don't think.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, he just wants you to do it the right way. And, you know, his way is not, you know, easy at all. It's hard. It's hard to practice the way he wants us to practice. So, you know, it's, you know, if you're getting a, you know, 10-year vet to try to practice that way, it's hard to get that commitment from him. And, but Coach Kelly, you know, I think if, you know, those older guys, you know, trust him and, you know, trust his process, and, you know, I think they'll see really, really good results.
Of course, we're snapping the ball was it 3 years to Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, let's go back. Yeah, because my first year I played, Darren Thomas was the quarterback.
Okay.
He was Marcus was redshirting.
Okay, and yeah. You know, there were, for whatever reason, some doubts about his leadership, maybe because he's a quieter guy, not as demonstrative and vocal when this whole debate over Jameis versus Marcus was going on, as well as his ability to adjust to the NFL style, you know, playing several yards behind center in that Oregon offense. Any doubt in your mind at all?
No.
And did that confuse you when people were speculating
that
way?
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. You know, in college, Marcus and I, you know, we're called out by, you know, all the coaches to just be more vocal. We're both very quiet guys, very behind the scene type of guys. We're leaders, you know, in our positions and on the field. We're loud and vocal, but off the field, we're always more reserved. And if there was a problem, we'd grab a guy one-on-one and put our arm over him and talk to him like that. We would never yell out in front of the whole team and call somebody out. But, you know, we grew up and, you know, we learned from it and, you know, became more vocal and became, you know, better leaders from it. And I think when people were saying they can't find anything on Marcus, and then they started knocking him on being too nice. And that's just what really bothered me. And, you know, I just know that no matter what you do or what, you know, what you do for a living or who you are, you can always learn from Marcus just from what he does, you know, the way he carries himself every day, his work ethic, everything that he does, you know, you can always learn from him.
You know, one of the evaluations of quarterback leadership a lot of time is the way they look at a quarterback in a huddle and out of a huddle. You guys never huddle up.
No.
So it is, you know, you go right to your spot and then you get your signals from the sideline. And I think that was kind of an unfair process of the evaluation of Mariota, because it's about your commitment to the game after the ball is snapped, not what you're doing before the ball is snapped.
Yeah, and, you know, Marcus, you know, he's the type of guy that's always going to prove people wrong. You know, if there's any doubters out there, that's just going to make him even want to work even harder, which is scary. you know, his work ethic is unbelievable, and just him trying to find ways to get better, and just him as a person in general is just an unbelievable person to be around, always positive, and, you know, just always want to be around him. And that's why, you know, we're, you know, very, very close friends. He actually, you know, beat out my best friend at the time at Oregon. He was my best friend, was my roommate from high school, and Marcus beat him out and, you know, made him transfer. And then, you know, but.
Are you guys still best friends?
We're friends, but, you know, Marcus is also my best friend too, and he's a brother for me, and, you know, we'll be brothers for the rest of our lives, and we'll be, you know, we'll be together in the off season in Oregon and training out there.
So I mentioned the Rose Bowl matchup against Florida State almost a year ago now. All the Mariota versus Winston Heisman debate, was there a little extra not that you needed a little extra edge in the Rose Bowl, but was there a little extra something going on to prove something to observers out there?
Yeah, it was a little something because Florida State, they're, you know, defending champions, they're undefeated, you know, they're 26-0 going into that game, and we just knew watching them on film that, you know, if we just, you know, do what we know what we're capable of doing, you know, we'll have a shot at beating them. And you know, just being, you know, out there in Los Angeles in front of my family, in front of all our friends, and then the Rose Bowl game, there's nothing like the Rose Bowl I played. You know, I've been a part of two national championship games and, you know, two Rose Bowls, and I'm very blessed to, you know, be able to say that. But, you know, there's nothing like the Rose Bowl game.
Time to step aside one final time. Hey, Fuel Up to Play 60 is student-led, and John Dugan from Glenbard West High School. John, are you out here? Stand up. Get recognized. Where's John? Thanks for joining us here. He is one of two Fuel Up to Play 60 state ambassadors with us tonight. Again, time for our final timeout here on Bears All Access. Back after this. Back spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. That's after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Heading down the home stretch of this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, Horonis Gross of the Bears Rookie Center, our special guest. So some final, yes.
Thank
folks
you.
Folks from Fuel Up to Play 60 joining us here. And giving us some noise in the background. So let me get to these Oregon uniforms here.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly. Did you get fired up by all of them? Or were there some you look in your locker and go, I got to wear this out there?
That happened a couple times, but I always knew, like there's a bunch of games where like we're like, whoa, how is this gonna look? And then it always looked so much better when we're out there on the field all wearing it together. But we did have a lot of, you know, crazy combinations, but, you know, I loved it, and it was just, you know, part of, you know, what Oregon was doing with Nike, and, you know, Nike did everything for us, and, you know, what, you know, Phil and Penny Knight did for us, for our university, you know, it was unbelievable, and, you know, they were so generous for us, and, you know, very thankful and blessed to be able to go there.
But, you know, there's no other jersey in the NFL or in the college football that's tapered like an offensive lineman's jersey. Does each one, you know, you have 10 different jerseys, 8 different jerseys during a season, where when we were growing up, we had one jersey for 5 years. Do you like the keep changing of the jerseys?
But what Nike did for us was, you know, they always asked out offensive linemen what we liked, and they fitted us the way we liked their jerseys. They always had it right every single week. And, you know, even when I told them I want this type of style jersey, the certain cutoff that I like on my arms, you know, they always had that and a backup for that, but also like other type of styles that, you know, if I just feel like changing during the game, they always had at least 5 extra jerseys ready, you know, on the sideline. And, you know, that's just, I don't know, very nice of what Nike could have done for us.
Nice. Back to Kyle Long real quick. I mean, you took him under your wing a little bit over at Oregon. How has he returned the favor for you since joining the Bears?
I was just so lucky, and, you know, to be able to come to Chicago. When Kyle first got drafted here, I said, man, well, that would be crazy if I'm able to come play for Chicago and play with Kyle again. And it's just unreal that it actually happened. And, you know, when I first got out here, I was, you know, supposed to stay in a hotel with all the other rookies, and Kyle put an end to that, told me, you're coming, staying with me at my house. And, you know, at first, you know, it's, for me, I'm not, you know, very social, I'm sorry, but I'm just the type of guy that just, you know, I'm reserved and, you know, more like, you know, I don't talk much. But when, you know, Kyle reached out and wanted me to stay at his house, just made me feel more comfortable. You know, I'm just, you know, so far from home, far from my family. And, You know, just having him there for me is just what made me feel more comfortable here.
What about your in-game working relationship with Jay Cutler? Has he helped you both mentally and physically not physically as much as mentally in the game today?
He's helped me with everything. As far as, him and, Matt Slauson and both of them have helped me with everything about being, not just, a good football player, but just how to be a professional, how to, handle injuries, how to handle certain situations, how to handle adversity. And, Jay never lets, anything get, too complicated or too big. He's always calm and always, worry free. And he just, there for me. And he's just been a huge help for me since, I got the starting job. And, to be honest with you, I was a little bit nervous. I didn't want to mess up anything. I don't want to make Jay upset, but
that's good pressure.
Yeah, but he always showed that he always has our back, and he's very easy to work with, and unbelievable player to be able to work with.
Well, thanks for spending some of your Wednesday night here with us. We appreciate it. Thanks also to the folks from Jill Up to Play 60 joining us here at the PNC Studios at Halas Hall. Hronas Grasu, his future is bright as those Oregon uniforms. For Tom Thayer and Hronas, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us on Bears All Access.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.